I'm sure it's the best. Thank you for listening. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made, and I am grateful to have this opportunity to communicate with you and just together to go through and get regrounded in facts. Now, why would I play a Seattle Spirit when we're going to talk about vote fraud? Why on earth would I play a Seattle Spirit featuring Antifa when we're going to talk about vote fraud or potential vote fraud on a nationwide basis? I mean, these things aren't connected, are they? There's no possible connection between the two. That'd be crazy.
The president's lies about our voting system are just that, and they're unacceptable, and they should not stand. Washington State is a beacon of light in this regard because we have demonstrated to the country that an open, accessible, efficient, legitimate all-mail ballot works.
Yeah. What is that? Hold on, you guys. Whoa, hold on a second. So someone's on my property, walking on my property. Oh, it's Dino Rossi. Oh, okay. Because whenever we talk about how safe and secure the voting system is, the guy who openly had the gubernatorial election stolen from him shows up. Five times they found new ballots in Washington State when they stole the election from him for Chris Gregoire. And it was an obvious theft. And later theft, it was proven to be thievery. Because there were more voters than vote, or there were more votes than voters. They all came from, it's just ridiculous. So why the Antifa in this? I'll tell you why. Follow me through this thread, because I'm starting at the top of the top in regard to vote fraud. I'm starting at this. What have been their behaviors? What have been the motives of the Democrats? Are they willing to steal to win an election? Are they? Yes. Yes. They were willing to steal jobs. The lockdown continues, and that's going to move over into the build back better thing now. That swindle is the greatest global swindle ever perpetrated on mankind, ever. In my judgment, I was saying up to the point of my birth, or, you know, in our lifetime, I think it's the greatest swindle in history. They're willing to get behind that and lock down states and pretend that voting in person is dangerous. They're willing to allow Antifa and Black Lives Matter Incorporated, two domestic terror groups, to roam the streets, you know, killing people. And they did kill people, including cops, or got cops killed. Andy Ngo has, of course, followed Antifa, and he makes an interesting point about a journalist, a guy named Joseph Wade. Joseph Wade writing to Andy Ngo. Now, remember, this is a journalist. Antifa should have cracked your skull. Racists earn it. Who is this guy, Joseph Wade? According to his Twitter profile, producer, journalist, former PBS 13, CNBC, CBS, NBC. Look at that. And should have cracked the skull of Andy Ngo. So starting at the top, what are the attitudes of leftists as regards this election? Crush skulls. And I'm not saying that he speaks for all leftists. He certainly doesn't speak for, you know, decent grandma and grandpa Democrats who should change their vote and understand their party's completely aligned to the left. But then there's this. In Wayne County, where they set up a dynamic whereby mail-in votes can decide this, they told us. They wrote all sorts of articles about the red mirage. It may appear that President Trump is winning. It may appear. You might go to bed the night before believing President Trump has won re-election, but that could change with the mail-in ballots. They were conditioning people to, oh, okay, that's normal. It's perfectly normal to stop the counting. And then for the other candidate to catch up. We'll get into this. Because this is the case that they need to make in front of the Supreme Court has to stand in writing. They may not get a chance to argue unless enough of the justices say, this is so overwhelming, we have to look at this. So the brief that they file to the court is going to have to show dramatic instances of fraud. There's certainly dramatic instances of absolute anomalies that have no explanation I can think of but fraud. So you heard about the Wayne County commissioners. Fox News described it as President Trump got some help from them. Whatever. What actually happened is the Wayne County commissioners had voted to not certify the Wayne County vote. Then people on the left began doxing their children's schools where their families live, where their kids go to school, in an obvious threat. Now, do you see why I'm tying this back to Antifa? They're willing to burn down American cities to affect this election. They're willing to lie about a flu to affect this election. Now, those two commissioners have rescinded their vote to certify, and they're heroes. This has to go to court, or this election will never be seen as genuine. That's one side of the dynamic. The other side of the dynamic is if there is fraud, and there is, then people have to go to prison and forever. You try to steal a presidential election, welcome to forever prison. So Kyle Becker, who has done a great job of tracking down a lot of history of vote fraud, of history of the so-called mainstream media running feature pieces questioning Dominion software, questioning it, and questioning mail-in voting. So Kyle Becker is an independent journalist, former association producer, etc., was with mainstream media, Fox News. He's Kyle N. Becker on Twitter. He went and found this from Abraham Ayash on Twitter. Quote, can someone teach me how to illegally vote in Kentucky and South Carolina? You know, for science. Kyle Becker writes, this is the guy who admitted 70% of Wayne County votes were unrecountable and then threatened the kids of a board of canvassers members to certify the votes anyway. That's what Kyle Becker is describing this gentleman as. If he did this, he's no gentleman. Describing him as the threat maker and the guy who admitted that the votes in Wayne County can't be recounted because of the way they were submitted. The case the president must make to the Supreme Court has to be dynamic and vibrant. It has to. And I'm not trying to say the court's stupid people. No one on that court is stupid. There's leftists on that court. There's John Roberts, who has departed from the Constitution. It's no longer even in his top 100 priorities, and it's just, which is made clear from his rulings. They need to be able to show in pictures and data and video, here's how they did it. And those pictures, those data, those are available. And I'm sorry, if I'm looking at motive and opportunity, and I'm taking those two things together, that's clear as day. And what evidence do we have? Well, there's some that's developed. You remember our friend, the independent data analyst, Justin Hart? Remember him? We've had him on the show a couple times. His organization that he recently founded, called Rational Ground, has proven through evidentiary data masks have changed nothing. Nowhere they've been tried have they stopped the COVID flu. Retweeted last night. I will explain this anomaly to you, and it's going to sound really, really smelly and stinky and familiar, even down to the time of day it happened. Get to that in about 60 seconds after we do a quick glance at traffic. So our friend Justin Hart, who has all this evidentiary data proving that anyone who tells you wearing a mask will stop anything is ill-informed or completely lying to you. And after the Danish study proved that masks don't work, if they're in journalism, they're choosing to not have that information. They're just choosing to ignore it. That's just obvious. Same with the lockdown. So Justin is a data analyst. He found this photo. All right, that photo. He went and did some digging into Wisconsin, and he tweeted an image he put together on Twitter. The president found it and has retweeted. President wrote, "Look at this in Wisconsin. A day after the election, Biden receives a dump of 143,379 votes at 3:42 a.m. That's exactly what the data shows. And Justin sent this to me. He sent it to me when he had tweeted it. And here's what Justin wrote about it. Check this out. So the New York Times keeps a log of every change to their presidential vote tallies. We believe they get that from Dominion Clarity. Now, check out the wild ride in Wisconsin, where real Donald Trump was leading by 51% all night until a 3:42 a.m. dump of ballots. Now, this is supposition, but if I was going to defraud a vote counting, I would do it after I told people we were going to stop counting, so eyes come off. I would do it at near to 4 o'clock in the morning. Want to know why? There's a reason that no-knock raids occur at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's the maximum human fatigue hour from the circadian rhythm. Most people are the most asleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's the hardest to wake up. Just ask me and Alex about that. It's the hardest to wake up. 3:42 a.m. ballot drops. Oh, look, overnight, while people were sleeping, after we told the poll watchers to go home, Joe Biden gets a dump of ballots. This is part of what needs to go in front of the Supreme Court. This is the circumstantial evidence. This is reason to stop everything and say, wait a minute, how'd that happen? Explain that mathematical anomaly. Oh, our Wayne County ballots can't be recounted. Okay, then we're doing the election over. Supreme Court's going to try really hard to not do that. Now, another screenshot. This is from a person I don't know, but it is apparently the dashboard from Pennsylvania. Check this out. The dashboard from Pennsylvania shows mail-in vote total for Trump dropped from 420,000 to 250,000 at 7:33 a.m. So as the tweet notes, maybe there's a reasonable explanation for an overnight loss of 170,000 votes overnight when people were sleeping, when poll watchers had been told to go home and they don't even get to watch the actual counting in in Pennsylvania. They have to stay like 120 feet away. This is some examples of what they need to take in front of the Supreme Court. Here's your circumstantial evidence. Here's the opportunity. The motive is clear. Let's get down to the actual evidence we can show. But the circumstantial stuff, it abounds. Does Sidney Powell have the goods? to convince the Supreme Court to look at this. That's the first step. Yesterday during the show, the news broke that this Danish study that they delayed and delayed and delayed in so-called academic journals, which are no longer academic journals, they're now pure propaganda. I'll explain that. They said, we're not going to run the Danish mass study because we don't like the results. The results came out during the show yesterday. Masks do not stop the flow of the virus. We come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Carolyn Huber, or Colleen Huber, pardon me. Dr. Huber has done a meta-analysis, a meta-study of studies of 200 mask studies looking at the safety of masks. Do they harm you? Her work has been featured in America's Best Cancer Doctors. She joins us next exclusively on The Todd Herman Show.
Still just a little bit of slowing in Pierce County on northbound 5 through Tacoma and north.
So news broke yesterday during the show. The long-awaited Danish mass study finally found a place where it could be published because the academic journals wouldn't take it. They didn't like the results. The results we'll talk about, but basically masks don't work. But there's another study done by and in conjunction with Dr. Colleen Huber, who's a naturopathic medical doctor featured in America's Best Cancer Doctor. She headed the Eurocancer Summit. Has been a doctor since 2006 and wrote the Manifesto for a Cancer Patient. That was featured in America's Best Cancer Doctors. And we are Twitter friends and been following Dr. Huber forever. Dr. Huber, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Let's start with the breaking news and let's get into your study real quick. The sort of controversy around this Danish mass study is that it is 3 or 4 months late. That, as I understand it, the authors tried to get it submitted to medical journals. It's peer reviewed. And I'd heard the authors say that the medical journals said, we are not going to run this because we don't like the result, that it shows masks don't work. How do you respond to that as someone who does studies and writes and acts on behalf of patients' goodwill that academic medical journals say we don't like the output of a study? How common is that?
I think it's becoming increasingly common, unfortunately. Even the British Medical Journal criticized that recently and called it scientific dishonesty and corruption. As because, as you know, this Danish mass study has been anticipated for months and no journal would publish it. The reason that it's very important, I think, is that it is the largest study of masks that we know of. It actually enrolled 6,000 people. It enrolled many more, but 6,000 people actually completed the study. And yes, as you say, the results may not have been pleasing to everybody.
And yet it's a peer-reviewed study. It's undertaken by, you know, scientists in good standing who did all in the protocols one would expect in terms of having control groups, et cetera. And it does show that, yeah, masks are ineffective. It may, in fact, show that they increase infection. And there's some signs within the study that it may increase infection. And, Dr. Huber, that doesn't surprise me. Making a warm, dark space more moist, warmer, and darker would seem to me that might welcome infection into the body.
Yes, exactly. And then there was a Duke University study that explained why that might happen. And I can tell you what the Duke University study found if you want for actually
please.
How that happened.
Yeah,
well, they looked at different types of masks, but they found, especially with some masks, that the larger droplets that might be exhaled get broken up into smaller droplets, go through the mask as smaller droplets and aerosol, and hang in the air longer. And when it hangs in the air longer, because, you know, gravity isn't pulling it down so quickly, then it turns out that it may be more of a risk for transmission of viral infections. But then our study found that just by wearing a mask and being alone, you're more likely to get sick, and that getting sick could be misdiagnosed as COVID-19.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. This is fascinating. So Dr. Colleen Huber is with us. She is at Colleen Huber, NMD. She is a naturopathic doctor. Her manifesto for a cancer patient was featured in America's Best Cancer Doctors, and you can find her also at primarydoctor.org. So you guys did a study as well. So let's talk about how your study worked. Let's talk about some of the parameters of the study. And some of the findings are, it's not just that masks are inefficient, but that they may be harming us, correct?
Yes, we looked at mask hazards in the most comprehensive research that we're aware of. That is, we cited among four papers, actually, up to almost 200 different clinical studies that we were looking at regarding the hazards of masks. The three that I co-authored recently, part one talked about the dirt and soil particulate, loose fibers that we found on masks, and how they could easily be dislodged and go into the lungs. And the second paper talked about the microbes, you know, that the bacteria that actually grow on masks that can be a problem. And the third paper, we talked about the loss of oxygen and the increase of poisonous carbon dioxide. We're supposed to be able to exhale our carbon dioxide to the air freely. We're not supposed to keep it so close to our airways, because if we do, well, that's how farm animals are euthanized to make food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, carbon dioxide. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, yeah. We quoted them in our last paper, that carbon dioxide is used to euthanize poultry and swine. And we have the quote and we link to it in our most recent paper. But that is why, you know, what we exhale is 100 times the carbon dioxide that should be in the air. In fact, an OSHA meter goes into the alarm zone if it gets close to the air that we exhale, you know, the carbon dioxide content that we exhale.
It's you know, Dr. Huber, I've seen people go and attempt to debunk that oh, no, this doesn't happen. And I've heard people say, well, in operating rooms, surgeons wear them. And am I correct that in operating rooms, there is an adjustment in the oxygen level? So surgeons in long surgeries don't pass out.
Right. Yeah. Yes, and even that's been mandated by OSHA since, I believe, 1979 in the United States. However, even with that, surgeons have been studied, and they do suffer the effects of deoxygenation from mask use. It was also found that...
Mm-hmm. Even with the adjustment in oxygen that OSHA has said that has to occur, they suffer these ills as well?
Yes, we cited some studies that showed that surgeons suffer from mask use, the deoxygenation and the resulting mental effects from mask use. Also, it was found that in a different study that masked surgeries resulted in more infections than unmasked surgeries. And the reason for that is likely because of that. Okay, it's called a plosive force. When we exhale, you know, it's like pronouncing a P or a B, you know, we're expelling air, but that air grows through the mask, some of it. And so what it does is it breaks up the exhale droplets into finer, tiny particles that travel farther and that linger in the air longer. So the mask surgeries actually had more infections than unmasked.
Wow. So I've tried to explain this to people.
Yeah.
You were going to say?
Oh, yeah. Probably also because the extra bacteria that is constantly being incubated on a mask. Even on a short train ride, it was found that a mask will incubate up to 100,000 bacterial colonies got cultured from masks. More than half of the masks that were worn for a short train ride that people wore.
I've tried to explain this to people that let's pretend that the mask works. Okay. Let's pretend that it blocks the viruses, or the viral molecules. Let's pretend that. Where are those viral molecules? And people say, well, they're blocked. They're nowhere. Well, no, they're somewhere. So would it be on the outside of the mask? Well, but it's on the outside of the mask. Do you ever take the mask off? Yeah. Right. Right. When
yes.
You exhale, you could be blowing virus at people, right?
Correct. Yes. And more so because those the larger droplets are broken up into the smaller droplets, which can just linger in the air longer and stay there and just, you know, leave a trail. But also there's other things to consider. So anyway, yes, if you're standing next to a masked person, you're probably more at risk than standing next to an unmasked person because of the side jet. You know,
well, that's phenomenal because... Well, I've seen a study. Dr. Colleen Huber's with us. You've got to follow her on Twitter, at Colleen Huber, NMD, and also primarydoctor.org. Her work has been featured in America's Best Cancer Doctor. She's a naturopathic medical doctor. I read a study yesterday on my show, Dr. Huber, about a study done with Marines, where it was a full-on lockdown study. They're Marines. Their commanding officers and drill sergeants are making them stay in double-layer cloth masks, and they had washing protocols and bleaching protocols, and their meals were plated, and there was a control group that didn't do any of those things. The control group had less COVID than the group of people in the lockdown, and I'm wondering if what you just described, this, like, what'd you call it, the blowback factor, or the masked people being a greater risk to us than non-masked?
Yes, I think that is the case, and it's not surprising that that study verified that. In fact, that verifies our 25-country study. We used the Council on Foreign Relations surveyed 25 people of 25 countries. They said, did you always wear a mask when you left home in the previous week? That was back in July. So we looked at that, those same 25 countries 3 months later. It turned out that the countries with the fewest mask use, the lowest mask use, had the least COVID. And then the ones with the most mask use tended to show the higher COVID.
Yes. We've talked about this. I'm a bit of a fanatic on this stuff, Dr. Huber, as I can sure you can tell by Twitter and the radio show. Let me, last couple minutes with Colleen Huber, let me ask about kids. I am so sad when I see a little kid who's still developing, their mirrored synapses so that they can respond appropriately to emotions and learn when a face is happy or sad. And that's, man, part of human development, mirrored synapses, not getting the experience of the full human face. But what are the healthcare effects on these little kids walking around with their face strapped in these woke masks?
This is an extremely urgent issue. This is why I work on the issue of mask hazards. I just volunteer my time for this. When I'm not seeing cancer patients, this is what I do 7 days a week, including evenings. It is extremely urgent to get children out of masks. And we talk about some of the anatomical differences between children and adults. For example, children's ribs are more horizontal than adults, so they're relying more on the diaphragm for breathing rather than the muscles in between the ribs. They rely more on the diaphragm. Now, those muscle fibers in the diaphragm get fatigued earlier. And so when kids' breathing is obstructed, they're suffering the fatigue earlier. There are so many reports of injuries to children that a brand new website, nomaskforkids.com, is now reporting the injuries of two children. And just yesterday, it was just an enormous number. It seemed to be the first day that I had seen the website, and they were all dated yesterday. And these are reports coming from parents of injuries to children. So, and more of these are being reported anecdotally. But I'm looking around to see the clinical study specifically on mask use. Mask use is so recent for children that I think it's going to take some time for this to come out. But it's unfortunate that children have to be injured first. I mean, whatever happened to first do no harm? Whatever happened to informed consent, that nobody is allowed to impose a health hazard on another person without that person's fully informed consent? And why are children, and as you said, soldiers, Marines, being guinea pigs for this experimentation? You know, masking is an experiment that failed 101 years ago during the time of Spanish flu. And when it failed then, why are we reviving that?
It
had such disastrous consequences then.
Couldn't agree more. It was disastrous. And in fact, the person who ran the medical response apologized to the nation. We've talked about it on the show. Colleen Huber's been with us. She's a naturopathic medical doctor. Text, if you want to see her study, I've added it to our COVID fact sheet. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. You'll get a wealth of information on how to respond to COVID lies. It's free. It's actually a Scrib document. I should be charging you for it, but that's just the sort of guy I am. And the study that Colleen Huber's helped to author will be there. We appreciate you coming on. Thank you for being one of the doctors that speaks the truth, Colleen.
Thank you so much, Todd. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Todd Emmert's show will continue after we check traffic with Right Way Traffic. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. Text line is 800-465-8770. Jason Rantz is going to join us. You see Jason on Fox News. You read him in, what, is in Newsweek. And don't blame him for that. He's getting started as a writer. He's also written for Fox News. You see him on Tucker Show. And he's, of course, the afternoon host here, 3 to 6 p.m. So he'll join us exclusively about 7:15 Seattle time coming up in just about half an hour. Tomorrow, and Alex put a lot of work into this, so I'm actually saying this for my producer's benefit. Tomorrow we're going to go through the madcap notions of the World Economic Forum, because it's just a discussion group. They don't have any sway or influence. It's not like their Build Back Better gibberish, which is just a cover for Chinese style authoritarianism and authoritarian, corporate communism. It's cover for that. It's not like every global leader is now saying Build Back Better. And, well, it is actually leader, I should say, politician with power. It's not like they're, you know, mimicking that, or it's not like they're now setting up that you are not going to have bodily autonomy. They are, in fact, setting that up. They are, in fact, creating circumstances whereby if the so-called public health officials don't bless your human existence, well, then you don't get to engage in human activity, starting with little things like concerts. But that's just for health and safety. That's all. This is for health and safety. It's just for the kids. So there's no totalitarianism coming at us, except there is. And it's if God forbid, if you want to know why they would be so anxious to get Trump out of power. Well, if God forbid Joe Biden actually becomes president elect, because he's not that now, and becomes president. He first of all, Joe Biden can't understand hot dog versus hamburger. He's going to be rolled. And he may well think it's a good idea to go down this path. So tomorrow we'll dig into that. Alex put a lot of work in putting together the sound bites of these global financial titans who want to build back better with outcome-based commerce, outcome-based free markets, outcome-based, mind you, that they control. I just thought this was so poignant. It just speaks to how bad things are in America. And, yeah, it's a fun thing. Morning Drive Radio, it's fun when we talk about how bad things are in the country. President Trump has tweeted, important news conference today by lawyers and a very clear and viable path to victory. Pieces are very nicely falling into place. RNC at noon. So at noon today, that's East Coast time, I'm sure he means, 9 a.m. West Coast. His lawyers are going to have a conference at the Republican National Committee. Hey, it's where I used to work. Some guy, just, I mean, I know, big news here. Some guy with 20 followers. Now, just follow all the pieces here. Some dude with 20 followers. Twitter has made the top response to the president's tweet. Some dude. So if you see the president's tweet, you're going to see dude's response. That's algorithmic, right? Here's what dude said. How Hitler seized power in Nazi Germany. Number one, create a crisis. Number two, demonize opponents. Number three, declare a state of emergency. Number four, undermine elections. Number five, make the rule of law relevant. Number six, rule by executive order. Number four is trending, undermine elections. So dude says that. Dude, create a crisis. Peaceful riots and political murders in the streets. The COVID flu with an infection fatality rate as calculated by the CDC and the WHO of 0.023% and likely to go down. But lock everything down. Everybody will die. Demonize opponents. Dude, Trump's a Russian spy. Selected, not elected. Bush over Gore, etc. Trump works for Putin. declare a state of emergency. It's a bad cold for people under the age of 65 in 99% of cases, but lock everything down. Undermine elections. Democrats. Trump stole the election. It was hacked by Russia. Hey, let's change everything to mail-in voting right now. Let's send everybody on Earth a ballot. Make the rule of law irrelevant. Peaceful riots are allowed. Burn down all the buildings you want. Don't you dare go to church. Rule by executive order. Dude, are you looking at the Democrat states? But Twitter made dude the number one response to President Trump. President Trump versus dude. That's 2020. That's a continuing meddling in the election by Jack Dorsey and Twitter. That dude has 20 followers. Dude should not be the top response. He's there because he said Hitler. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.